Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for giving these lovely ladies the opportunity to get out of their comfort zone, to do something different, to help them to trust in each other and to trust in you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to move in their hearts, that you would show them how this experience is so much more than just a team-building activity, but that you will also use it to help them to see where they are in their faith. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would communicate to their hearts what they need to hear, whether I say it or not. We ask Our Lady to be with us, to cover us with her maternal presence. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so when I first prayed with this scripture passage, and a lot of the reflection I want to share with you today is from that scripture passage. But when I was praying about it, three major themes came to my heart. And it wasn't until afterwards I realized, oh my gosh, Lord, you're so good, that they do actually fit together. The first is that we need God. So I'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. The second one is that you are never alone. And the third is that God's love makes us brave, or gives us courage. And when we read this verse from Isaiah, what number is it?
40:31.
Good job, yes. Isaiah 40:31. There's something in our hearts that's just like, how beautiful. You know, but when you really think about it and you read like what scripture's saying to us, that we will soar, basically we'll fly, right? That we're gonna run and not grow weary, that we're gonna not be faint, we're never gonna be tired. And in our life, we want that so often, don't we? Like, how often do we say, like, I'm exhausted, I'm just tired? Like, more than just physically sometimes, like, your brain is tired sometimes. I remember feeling like that when I get home from school, or even now, if I'm, like, studying really hard. It's like, my brain is tired. I'm just tired. But there's something in our heart that, like, yearns for that. And actually, because we were made for that. Like, this scripture passage speaks to us so much of heaven, of our ultimate end. Like, this is not our home. C.S. Lewis once said, "If I find in myself nothing in this world can satisfy, I can only conclude that I was not made for this world." Isn't that beautiful? So when we read that passage, we have that longing in our heart. That's a reminder that this is not our home, that we are on a journey. And there's so many different images that you can use to describe that faith journey. St. Therese once said that this world is not our home, it is the ship. So for her, the journey of her life was like she was on a ship, and eventually she would reach that shore of heaven. St. Paul has spoken about this journey on earth being a race, and the finish line being heaven. But you could also use rock climbing, actually, as that. Like, your journey in life is like your rock climbing. And that's kind of the picture I kind of hope a little bit to paint for you in this brief reflection. And so the first truth that was really like sealed in my heart when I was reflecting on this verse was that we need God. I need God. There was a moment in my own life. I was in college, my freshman year in college. And for me personally, it was just a difficult year. I struggled a lot. I felt like I had to do everything perfect, and I was a perfectionist. And so I was doing my best at everything, and it was like failing at everything. Like, no matter how hard I tried, it was just like bad. Like, no matter how hard I tried with just the relationships in my life, I just felt like everything was falling apart. And when I looked at my own heart, it was just broken. I just had a broken heart. And I remember sitting in the parking lot of Ulta. Do they have Ultas down here? It's a beauty supply store, no? Okay, okay. So sitting in the parking lot of Ulta, and I remember just like hitting, like with my head against the steering wheel, you know? And I just like crying. And I was like, what do I do? Like, Lord, I'm just tired. Like, I'm tired of doing this on my own. And at that moment, I turned on the radio and a song that played, I don't even remember the song now, but the chorus that was being like played over and over again is, "Lord help, I can't do this myself." Which was like exactly what my heart was like saying, but could not find the words to say it exactly. And that moment, even though it was difficult, was such a freeing moment for me. Because once I recognized that, like, no, I am broken. No, I can't do it on my own. No, Lord, I need you. There was like a piece in my heart could be open to him. You know, like you cannot enter into a relationship with God. You cannot receive his grace until you recognize that, like, yes, you need him. In scripture, there's a term, it's called the fullness of time. I'm going to get theological just for a moment, but I'm going to make it simple, okay? So there's a term in scripture called the fullness of time, and it's the moment that they say of the incarnation when God became man in the person of Jesus. So that moment that God sent his only son is called the fullness of time. And there's been a great theological question. We're like, well, why did God choose that moment to enter humanity, like history? Like, why didn't he do it right after Adam and Eve messed up? Or why didn't he wait until, like, the end of time? Why was it that moment? So St. Thomas Aquinas, he's a really smart, great theologian. He said, well, the reason why God chose that moment was because humanity needed enough time to know that they needed God. Like, they would not be able to recognize God, and that their hearts would not be open to receive God until they realized we need a Savior. So there had to be enough time for them really just to struggle, to battle through life, to get to that point. But also, he didn't wait till the end of time because he didn't want humanity to lose hope. So right in that moment between, like, total despair and recognizing that you need God, God entered. And that's kind of like what God does in our own hearts. Like, he enters, like, our fullness of time, like in our own lives, in that moment where we're between, Lord, I need you, to I'm giving up. And if you've ever felt that, if you've ever had that kind of even those questions in your own heart, like, I can't do this, I am broken. If you've ever looked in your heart and you were like, oh, it's a scary place, like, I don't want to go that deep into my heart. Maybe this is your fullness of time. Like, maybe this is the moment that God wants to enter into your life and have a real relationship with you. So God comes from being not just here, but here. And that leads into the second truth that I want you to carry back with you today. And that's that you're never alone. Like, you weren't meant to make this journey of life alone. And of course you have your people, you have your teammates, I mean, you have your family. God gave us, like, human beings to be with us. But we need him. He promised his disciples, his last words he said to his disciples are, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of time. He promised it, like, he will do it. And he doesn't just want to be the belayer, right? As I said it right? Okay. He doesn't just want to be the belayer. He wants to be the one climbing with you. He wants to be the one that's climbing. Actually, he already climbed it. He climbed it ahead of you. He made sure there was a stone in every place of your life that you could reach up. And when it was difficult, I guarantee you, Jesus is going to pull you, like my friend did with me. When he would just, like, really be like, well, I'm stuck. He would just pull me, and I would just go up to where I needed to go. God does that. But it takes a listening ear to recognize him. Well, first it takes a relationship. And a listening ear to recognize where he's telling you to go. But you are not meant to do it alone. And the third thing that I want to emphasize is that God's love makes you brave. He will take you out of your comfort zone. But that's because in order to love, your heart needs to be, like, stretched. And those experiences that your hearts are stretched are those experiences where you are out of your comfort zone. I once want to share a brief experience in my own life. It's a story that I've really never shared with anybody, but as I was praying through the scripture, this story came to my mind. So I hope as I share it with you, as I kind of end this, the Lord allows you to place yourself within this story, okay? About 5 years ago, right around this time, it was Labor Day. It was right before I entered the convent. It was literally a couple days before I entered the convent, and I was with my family in my favorite place to be, which is the front of my parents' boat. My parents have a little lake house, and they have a boat. And my favorite place to be was in the front of it. And so I was there with my family, probably for, like, one of the last, like, I knew it was, like, my last time, like, doing that, with my family as they were in that moment. And my brother was there with his new wife, and my sister was there with her fiance at the time. And the family was all diving off, jumping into the water, you know, swimming. My dad had anchored the boat. And I'm sitting there in the front in my tank top and shorts, you know. And my dad turns to me at one point as the family's all diving in, and he goes, "Christy, dive in." And I was like, "Dad, you know I don't dive." And he turned and he said, "But that was so long ago, Christy." And what he was talking about was 12 years earlier, I had dove. I used to dive all the time, but I had dove. And something happened, and I, like, dove too deep. Like, I really don't know what happened. I must have done, like, a somersault or something in the water. But I was totally, like, disoriented. Like, I didn't know if I was going up or down under the water. And I ran out of breath. And I, like, couldn't reach the top of the water, the surface. Eventually, I did. And when I got there, I, like, panicked. I panicked in the water. And I almost drowned. Because I lost my breath and I lost my sense of direction. And I ended up being fine. Like, I just kind of, like, doggy paddled to the side and I was fine. But from that time on, even if my head went underwater, I would have that, like, sensation that I was drowning. So I wouldn't even, like, jump in water. Like, as soon as my head went underwater, I would feel like I was drowning and I couldn't reach the top. So I was like, "Dad, you know I don't dive, Dad. I'm not doing that." And then he said, "Christy, just dive in." And all of a sudden in that moment, it was, okay, so God often speaks to me, not necessarily in words, but in situations. And oftentimes my dialogue with God is not with words, because I'm not linguistically gifted. I have a hard time actually praying in the sense of words. Oftentimes it's just something I do. So this situation, here I am, and my dad's saying, "Dive in." And it was suddenly like God the Father telling me to dive in. And it was totally not, this moment was not even about anymore overcoming a childhood fear. It was totally not like, take advantage of this moment because it's probably one of the last times you'll be with your family. It was God the Father was telling me, I need you to trust me and to dive into this new life you're about to enter. Then literally the next day or the day after, I don't remember, I bought a one-way ticket to Miami to enter a convent. So the situation was like, I need you to dive into life. I need you all in. Like, can you do that? That was this moment. Forget the childhood fear, forget the situation of the family. It was diving into, like, do I trust God? And suddenly I was like, I want to do this. I want to overcome this fear for God. So I took off my tank top. I was in my bathing suit, and I dove in. And that was the last time I've ever dove into water, and probably the last time I probably ever will. But I dove in the water, and that was my prayer in that moment. It was like, God, I want to do this for you. Like, God's love in that moment made me brave to do that. It was a grace in that particular moment to dive into life. Is there something in your life that God is asking you to dive into? There'll be many situations in your life that are difficult. But God is going to be there. And if you're with Him, if you recognize your need for Him, and if you have a relationship with Him, He's going to make you brave and He's going to give you the strength in that moment to overcome any fears that you have. Amen? Okay. Why don't we close in prayer as we prepare our hearts for Mass? Just asking our Lord to open our hearts during this Mass, to help us to see where we are in this climbing of our own faith journey. Are we at the bottom of the wall? Are we halfway? Are we stuck? During this Mass, let us ask the Lord where we are in our faith journey. Amen.